This is a No Dogma podcast. I'm Brian Hogan, and this morning I'm joined by Ken Finnegan, Chief Technologist at the Industrial Development Agency of Ireland. Thanks for joining me, Ken, on a Saturday.
My pleasure, Brian.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself, please, Ken?
So my name is Ken Finnegan. I work for what we call in Ireland the IDA, the Industrial Development Authority of Ireland. The organisation is a government organisation which attracts foreign direct investment, so inward investment, into Ireland. My role there is senior technical advisor or chief technologist, multiple different hats, to be honest with you. So anything technical that the IDA need to deal with, usually I'm the first point of contact. Well, not necessarily first point of contact, but I have a deeper knowledge, I guess, from working in industry and technology for 15 years. So the role would be like twofold, I guess. So there's an operational aspect of it where it's, we look at companies and applications for grants, for example, when we're grant aiding companies, multinationals in Ireland. And I look at the applications and evaluate them from a technical perspective. And then the second role, which is a lot more fun, is the strategic aspect of it, which is kind of like looking at, I guess, to put it into context, actually, one of the first things I did when I joined the IDA was look at global megatrends, and then compare global megatrends against our capabilities and a SWOT analysis of Ireland effectively, and see where Ireland can play in these global megatrends. So we identified a number of trends where we're well suited to play from a global perspective.
And when you say you identify them, is that you as chief technologist or you as the IDA?
As the IDA, with assistance, of course, and input from myself. So we obviously engaged with numerous agencies over here and companies over here, with the likes of PricewaterhouseCoopers, Accenture, Deloitte, KPMG. Looking at, they've done some great work in terms of, they produce a report every year looking at global megatrends. So then from a SWOT analysis, a national SWOT analysis, I guess, we look at where our strengths lie as a country, and then how can we apply our strengths to those global megatrends. What are the opportunities for Ireland effectively? So everybody in the organization would have contributed. We have numerous, we've got approximately 280 staff in the IDA, with locations in 21 countries around the world. So obviously we've got a lot of feet on the ground, a lot of really good people looking at what's happening in different parts of the world, and then they feed back into kind of like this exercise, if you want.
So the having the people all over the world, I lived in Budapest for a number of years, and I know that the IDA was attached to the Irish embassy there. Is the primary role then to kind of advocate for Ireland and why companies should invest in Ireland?
It's more than advocacy. I'd say it's we're effectively a sales and marketing agency for Ireland. Yes, advocating capability in the country, but also attracting. It's all about attracting foreign direct investment. Our chief KPI, our number one KPI for the staff in the IDA, are jobs. So everybody is tasked with bringing jobs into Ireland. But that's done through. Yeah, we have a national value proposition. That basically all the staff are trained up in and can demonstrate like why Ireland, why should companies invest in Ireland, etc.
Is IDA effectively part of the government, or is it an independent agency?
It's part of the government. Yeah, we report into the government, but we have our own CEO and board, etc. Yeah, so we're tasked with by the government to create jobs in Ireland, but we are our own organization.
So then, if I was to ask you, why should companies invest in Ireland these days? Because in the past, just so people know, you and I were at university together. We graduated in 2000. And during the 90s, Ireland became a very popular location for foreign companies because it was English speaking, cheap labor and access to the European market. But, you know, why should companies still invest in Ireland?
Well, those points that you mentioned are all still very relevant. We are part of the European Union. We are the only English-speaking country within the European Union with the euro. And that's another good point, actually, is like we're part of the Euro, access to, I wouldn't say necessarily cheap labor, but we've access to a pool of 500 million people around Europe. And those things are all still very relevant. But I guess it's like adding to our value proposition, we have a lot of technology companies here as well. And it's like you can see Ireland as a technology cluster in Europe, which in itself attracts a lot of talent from around Europe. Track record is another part of our value proposition. So we have approximately 1,200 foreign companies that are in Ireland. This all, I guess, it's like from a historical perspective, back in the early 20th century, Ford was one of the first companies to move to Ireland. And in about 100 years later, we have 1,200 companies in the country, with their strengths or with recognition, I guess, globally for technology and pharmaceuticals and medtech, fintech, financial companies, etc. Also then obviously, maybe not obviously, but we're recognized, I guess, for having a very competitive corporate tax rate. We have a corporate tax rate of 12.5%, which causes a lot of debate in and around the office and with other our European counterparts, etc. But again, it's part of our value proposition. And then finally, and I think the most important thing that that attracts companies into Ireland is the talent. The talent pool in Ireland is amazing. We have the population of our under 36 year olds in Ireland is 51% of them have a third level education. Well, it's number one reason why companies cite moving to Ireland. Obviously, it's a combination of everything, but it's a company can't exist without talent. So you have the likes of Airbnb, Google, Facebook, EMC, Intel, Vodafone, et cetera, all these big names in technology. And I speak about technology companies because this is what the area that I work in. But it's like the number one reason they cite for being here is because of the talent that they can find in Ireland. I did hear somebody challenge one of these senior executives in one of these organizations recently, saying it was a tax play, but it was kind of she defended the senior management in the team, going like, it's not about tax, it is part of the value proposition, but it's absolutely about the talent you can find in Ireland. And that's kind of like great to hear and great to promote, to be honest with you, because there's amazing talent in this country.
And I can imagine, you know, obviously when you have big companies like Facebook, Google, Airbnb and the like, it means that as an engineer, you're not dependent on one company or one job. You know, the market is good, you can move, you're more likely to attract others. So I presume the fact that you have those big players now is a big part of why you're attracting other ones and why they're not necessarily leaving the country either.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly it. So a really good example is, I don't know if you're familiar with Silicon Docks in Dublin, but it's like the equivalent, maybe on a smaller scale, to the Silicon Valley over in the States. But you have all the big names in Silicon Docks in Dublin. We have a new company just moved in there recently, or a new company for Ireland. They're called Daqri. It's an American company based in LA. It's one of the founders and managing director here in Ireland is a lady called Gaia Dempsey. And Gaia is setting up their Irish operation. But they're leaders in the world in augmented reality technology, and it's really interesting. They've just moved here about a year ago, I think, and what's really interesting about these guys is that they just demonstrate what's great about setting up in Ireland. They moved over, they are setting up their European, the EMEA headquarters here, and they're attracting, just by virtue of the fact, one, that they're one of the best augmented reality companies in the world, but they're attracting the best augmented reality programmers as well and engineers to Ireland. So I know, having a chat with Gaia there recently, she said that she managed to attract three out of the top 10 software developers in augmented reality over from Paris recently. And that's kind of like, and that's what's happening in Ireland at the moment. We're reaching a critical mass with all these kind of like really excellent technology companies. Like we have 10 of the 10 born on the internet companies here in Ireland. We have 9 of the 10 top ICT companies based in the country as well. And what's happening at the moment is we can see this critical mass has been reached, where Ireland is definitely recognized for its technology capability. And And people are coming here to be part of it. It's a recent expression I heard is technology backpackers. So it's like recent graduates from universities all around Europe are coming to Ireland for 3 or 4 years to be part of the tech ecosystem here, because it's a seal of approval and it's a very good sign, I guess, on their CVs that they've come to Ireland, done work over here, and if they want to stay, we love when they want to stay, but then go venture back out into the world after getting their technology experience here in Ireland.
And then, as Dublin is relatively close to most European capitals, especially with the low-cost budget airlines that are out there now. Like, as I said, when I lived in Budapest, it was a 2.5-hour flight, but I think Paris is probably an hour, London is 45 minutes. So it's not exactly a big deal for people to, say, work in Dublin for a month, go back to wherever they're from for a weekend, that kind of thing. So that, again, that kind of proximity and that ease of travel is very important, I imagine.
You know what? It's true. And it's like, I guess it's like I have to not just focus in on Dublin as well, because there's just there's talent all over the country. We're a small country. That's our secret sauce. We're a small country. It's like a 2.5-hour drive from Dublin down to the south of Ireland to Cork. And because of our size, you're relatively close to everything. So it's like not just to be Dublin centric, but we have, like, you can see that, for example, down in Cork, there's a security cluster of companies in security based down there. Waterford, for example, which is in the sunny southeast, has an amazing capability in the Node.js. They're recognized for their Node.js capabilities down there, and had a global conference down there recently. Over in Galway, you have your med tech companies. Arm have just acquired another semiconductor company over there last year. So you have, from a national perspective, you've got a capability around the country, but as I mentioned, it's like the country is relatively small, and I think that's part of our success in winning this winning the foreign direct investment from technology companies, is that you're never more than 2 hours, 3 hours from a meeting, and because we're small as well, we're a small population, that it's like you can pick up the phone and you can find who you need to speak to in any other company relatively simply. Yeah.
But that kind of leads to the question, you know, in the past, Ireland was very heavily dependent on foreign investment and foreign companies coming in. And most of the companies you've mentioned so far, Airbnb, Google, Facebook, they're all foreign companies. But what about homegrown companies?
This is great. We just had, to be honest with you, it's that puts a smile on my face. It's like the homegrown companies as well. We just had our startup week last week, and I spoke at and attended lots of events, and it was really, really great. It's like, it's great to see. I guess it's like the multinationals have been here for a while. A lot of them have been here for a while. For years and years and years. In some cases, Microsoft have been here for 25 years and Intel for 30, or the other way around, forgive me if I'm mixing that up. But because these companies have been here for that amount of time, I guess it's like capability has grown with these companies, but also the people have become trained up and are skilled in numerous different things. So we can see a lot of Irish startups, and you can see a desire and an appetite from the startup scene. Like, one really interesting fact actually was, which was reported during the week, is that Trinity College here in Dublin was voted the top university in Europe for entrepreneurs. And then you had Oxford came second, University of Manchester third, and then UCD University College Dublin came fourth in the Pitchforks University Entrepreneur Report. So there is a wonderful ecosystem in Ireland for startups and SMEs, Irish startups and SMEs. So the I guess it's like the multinationals don't work in isolation. Especially when I have meetings with companies and CTOs and CEOs from foreign companies coming over to Ireland, they're not just focused on, as I mentioned, kind of like corporate tax rate, the access to English speakers and the euro. They want to see what the startup scene is like in Ireland, because these are the suppliers to these companies. These are the, like, provide another wave or another level of competency demonstration, if you know what I mean. There's a rich ecosystem happening in Ireland, and there's a lot of, I guess, it's like you can see a lot of venture capitalists investing in companies and startups. You can see a lot of just a lot of activity. Like I was on a panel discussion for a drone conference last week, which was wonderful. So it's in around the IoT thing, but looking at it from a drone perspective, and we had American companies coming over, being part of this conference. But like, you can see the mix and match of different companies and individuals just coming together and having conversations. There's a company called Movidius, for example, and Movidius are relatively well known in Ireland because they'd be our most recent unicorn company. So they are famous for, or they're famous for building a chip called a Myriad chip, which is used in the Google mobile devices. So it's a vision processing chip. So the guys from the States, or some companies from the States, who are drone manufacturers and designers, have come over to Ireland, and you can see these guys just standing out in the middle of an airfield, having chats with the CTO of Movidius, kind of like discussing, like, actually, how can we attach kind of like a vision processing chip to drones, and what are the application layers, or what are the applications of these of doing this? So Dave Maloney is a visionary in my perspective. It's brilliant having conversations with him because he sees applications for like the marine industry, where it's like you can fly drones with their chip attached to see algae in water, or the agricultural industry looking at grass growth, or anything really. It's like you're only limited by your imagination in terms of application areas. But that's just a demonstration, I guess, of the wonderful, rich ecosystem that's happening in Ireland and how it complements foreign direct investment into the country.
You mentioned a couple of universities there, Trinity College Dublin and University College Dublin. Here in Boston, the universities like MIT, Harvard, Tufts, they all are very, and Northeastern and more of them, they're all very heavily involved in the incubator role. Is it similar in Ireland?
Yeah, very much so. As I mentioned, yes, UCD came out on top of, or Trinity came out on top of a study recently for producing the number one or amount of entrepreneurs in Europe, with UCD coming in fourth place after two other universities in the UK. So there's a lot of, I guess, there are a lot of incubators in the different universities. All of them would have some. Like, for example, there's in UCD, they'd have the Nova startup incubation facility there, which is producing amazing companies. And then in Trinity would have, for example, the Enterprise Campus. There's like 36 units there, and again, a lot of startups are start off their life there, and then become bigger and better things. For example, I mentioned Movidius; they started there as well. Around the country, to be honest with you, there's a lot of investment in startups as well. Enterprise Ireland, their sister organization, would be responsible for looking after that side of the economy. They would have different types of funding to provide startups, etc. But the universities and our institutes of technologies would have a vibrant startup scene.
We've talked quite a lot about foreign companies, but there are quite a few successful Irish companies. One that a lot of developers would be familiar with is Stripe. What are some other examples of successful Irish tech companies?
I guess it's like, where do I start? We do have, as I mentioned earlier on, because of our legacy in technology, a lot of clever people got clever experience and have come on to set up their own company. So another example of an interesting company I've come across recently is Decawave. Decawave are a semiconductor design company as well, and they just have one product. So it's one chip, and this chip is the smallest location sensor in the world. So you can use it to basically attach it to your keys, for example. You drop your keys in a field of long grass, and you can use your phone, for example, to find the keys up to 300 meters away. If you're indoors now, the range differs, but they're making leaps and bounds, especially in the Internet of Things area. You can see lots of interesting news around those guys. What's actually even more interesting with those guys is the fact, and this is another kind of like, I guess, another really, really great thing about Ireland is the fact that collaboration is the secret sauce for Ireland. DecaWave collaborated with one of the institutes of technology here in Dublin. So the guys they designed a chip, but they didn't have capability within the organization, and it didn't exist on the market for an antenna small enough to fit in that chip. So they collaborated with one of the institutes of technology here in Dublin to help them design and attach an antenna onto their chip. So that's kind of like a really nice story. I've mentioned Movidius, our most recent unicorn company. A really interesting telecoms company is OpenNet. They're looking at the communication networks of the future. They work a lot with, for example, AT&T over in the States on software-defined networking, etc. Another interesting company is DS3 Group. There's lots of interesting news, actually. But DS3 Group have recently created the smallest analog to digital converter in the world, and they've got their fingers in many pies. I know Accenture have bought off some digital TV rights from them recently. I don't know the details exactly, but there's lots of really interesting Irish companies out there doing really, really interesting work. Again, it's part of the technology ecosystem. There would be no investment from foreign companies if these guys didn't exist.
One of the things that has made the media over here in the US is the Web Summit that's held in Ireland. Is it every year?
The Web Summit has been here for the past 3 years. It's here again this year, but we'll be moving next year, yes.
Is that something that IDA is involved in?
Not necessarily involved in per se. We participate. It's always good to kind of like go and see what's happening from a company's perspective, a startup perspective, see what's happening in the tech world. It's exciting. It's like when you attend the the Web Summit, it's you walk in and you can be overwhelmed by the absolute incredible companies that attend, by the startup scene. The venture capitalists are there looking for interesting ideas and interesting companies. You see all the meetings taking place. It's just it's a hive of activity for startups and technology companies. It's a very vibrant and energetic event.
On that topic of venture capital, I know in Boston, a lot of startups complain that it's harder to get startup funding in Boston than it is in the West Coast. But what's it like in Ireland to get venture capital?
Honestly, it wouldn't necessarily be my space, but from events that I attend and from conversations around, not speaking from an IDA perspective, but just from me attending different types of events, venture capitalists are present. They're always there looking for great pitches, looking for great companies, looking for great people. So there is a notable presence, I guess, of the VCs in Ireland, and they're active in Ireland.
One of your focuses, and you've been written about in the Silicon Republic as one of the 25 key influencers on the Internet of Things. What's your role specifically in relation to IoT within the IDA?
Okay, so again, as a senior technology advisor, I mentioned one of my jobs when I started in the IDA was to kind of like look at emerging trends and where Ireland can play. So we looked at the Internet of Things and kind of like put it into context. We actually wanted to break down what IoT is and what it means for different companies. So we looked at it actually from a technological horizontal perspective, as I would put it. So we look at the sensors, we look at the things, we look at the sensors that sense the real world, and that sensor will generate a bit. So that bit is sensed by these sensors. So we're looking at kind of like the sensor companies, the semiconductor companies, the photonics capability in Ireland, and all that industry and that vertical. And then once that it has been generated, it needs to go somewhere. So it's like needs the pipes effectively. So it needs to advance communication networks. It needs research in advanced communications. And then again, we were looking around the country and looking at the capability. And we have a lot of companies working in that space and research centers. The Connect Research Center in Trinity is a great example future networks and communications. Linda Doyle is the managing director there and doing some amazing work. And again, not in isolation, with companies. They've done some excellent work with Intel. They've worked with IBM and the Smart Cities project, for example, as well. They've done some, and with other research centres as well, for example, the Telecommunication Systems and Software Group down in Waterford Institute of Technology. They collaborate highly and well with those guys just from a systems and software integration perspective. So it's like IoT doesn't stand in isolation by itself. But getting back to kind of like, so the bit has been sensed, it's moving along, it's in the communication network. Next, it has to be stored somewhere. So we look at kind of like hosting in the cloud or hosting data in Ireland. So we have a whole kind of, again, another great story in and around Google, Amazon, Microsoft, all have data centers here in Ireland. We're the only country outside of the US where these three companies have located data centers. And then we had announcements from Apple and Facebook earlier on this year, and these guys are in the process of constructing data centers here in Ireland as well. So now you've got you've sensed with the semiconductors, you've moved it along with the advanced communication networks, you're hosting your data. Next thing is like you need to analyze that. So we've, again, the likes of SAS are located here in Ireland. I mentioned Google, they're hosting, but they're also analyzing that data as well. But we have one of the largest data analytics research centers here in Ireland as well. It's called Insight Research Center. It's a Science Foundation Ireland funded research center. So it's funded to the tune of 18 million euros. It has approximately 350 data scientists and academics and data analysts working in it. And it's massively collaborative with industry and does some really amazing work. And once that data has been analyzed, then you need to present it back as value. So we even have an amazing research center called ADAPT, which takes all this analyzed data and puts visualizations in and around it and intelligence in this analyzed data, let's say. So we have kind of like, as I say, a nice value proposition for IoT. We've got all, as far as I'm concerned, we've all the bases covered, and we can see that the likes of, like, for example, Tyco are calling themselves an IoT company at the moment, and they're based down in Cork. A lot of work. We had another company during the week who just announced jobs as well. AccuFlows, they just announced jobs during the week. Then Intel actually is, I know I've mentioned Intel, but they're really an interesting company. During the week they launched the Curie chip. It was launched at the Makers Fair in Rome. This is part of the Genuino, excuse my pronunciation, board, but that's the most recent IoT chip. So it's like that chip will go into wearables and smart clothing, etc. And that comes on top of their Quark chip, which was developed and designed here in Ireland about 2 years ago, which is known as their Internet of Things chip. So there's a lot of, like, as I say, IoT, as far as I'm concerned, nobody really knows. When I'm speaking to potential clients, we don't say we have the answer for the Internet of Things here in Ireland. But what we do have is we've a lot of the different recipes that go into the IoT cake. And it's not for me, or it's not for anybody else to say, except for that company, how they construct their IoT solutions. But we invite them over. That's part of the IDA offering. What we do is we'll invite companies over. It's like, we'll try and find out, understand what their needs are. And we'll arrange an itinerary to go around to the research centers, to go around to companies, to go around to SMEs, to go around wherever they want to go and meet with the individuals and the companies that are essentially the ingredients for IoT. That's not necessarily achievable in many other countries. But as I mentioned, it's very achievable here in Ireland, and due to the collaborative characteristics of Ireland, you can achieve that. Companies are achieving their IoT solutions here in Ireland, as I mentioned. The likes of Intel, IBM have invested in a smart cities program here in Dublin. Huawei. There's lots of, as I say, many companies investing in their IoT work here in Ireland.
So again, we're talking again quite a bit about foreign companies, and as you and I remember, in the dot-com bust and then the recession of 2007 and 2008, particularly the dot-com bust, Ireland didn't do too well. A lot of tech companies let a lot of people go. How do you see Ireland positioned for the next recession that, you know, will come along?
I guess, well, first of all, the tech companies actually were pretty resilient to the bust here in Ireland.
In 2008, I think.
In 2008, also dot-com back in 2000.
But back earlier they weren't, as far as I recall.
No, you're right. Sorry, apologies. I got to...
No. I know. There was a difference. There was a significant difference because 2008, tech companies were pretty stable. I knew very few people that lost jobs. You or I knew very few people that lost jobs. Whereas 2000, 2001... there were many friends of mine walking the streets.
I was one of those people. I didn't actually lose a job. We just graduated from university. So I'd jumped on a plane, flew to Amsterdam and ended up working in Amsterdam for 5 years. So fortunately or not, I did have a job, but it wasn't in Ireland. So it was good international experience from a personal perspective. But yeah, so I guess how are we prepared if the next one happens, or when the next, if it's the case, not if, but when the next one happens. Okay. The Irish government have invested heavily in research areas in Ireland. So we've got we've got 12 Science Foundation Ireland funded research centres of scale. So they're large research centres. For example, I mentioned Insight, Adapt for Content, Connect for Telecommunications, and then numerous others. Now, these ones are, I don't know if you're familiar with the TRL levels, but the TRL levels is Technology Readiness Level. It's a scale we use in Ireland for demonstrating research. So TRL Level 0, we'd look at as fundamental research. So it's like the crazy guys in white coats, kind of like looking 50 years into the future, doing fundamental research. And as you climb up that scale, you get to Level 9, which is commercialization of an idea. Of research, so it's a company is ready to sell that. So Science Foundation Ireland finance 12 research centres, and those research centres would be based on from level 0 up to level 4, 5, 6 on the TRL level scale. So they're fundamental up to, yeah, not necessarily commercial research, but they're preparing companies for the commercial research. Then IDA Enterprise Ireland finance 15 technology centres, and these technology centres are pure industrial research. So it's about helping our SMEs, it's about helping multinationals take this research and make it ready for commercialization. So we have a very strong, I guess, research ecosystem, and I guess the objective of that is to ensure that if another recession happens, that companies are so embedded into Ireland that they're not just doing very superficial work here, that they're actually doing very valuable work, and they have valuable employees, that they can't just up and leave as easily, that they've invested in their people, they've invested in the country. So it creates anchors for them effectively here in Ireland.
Any final notes before we wrap up, Ken?
I would like to, I guess, invite you and invite any of your listeners, if they are interested in seeing what Ireland has to offer from a technology perspective, or whatever area or industry they may sit on, definitely visit our website. It's www.idaireland.com. If you're interested in our IoT value proposition, we have a really succinct infographic there. If you type in IoT Ireland IDA, it'll come up as well. And if you're interested in coming over to Ireland and meeting and having discussions, I'm very much open for that as well. It's my bread and butter, basically talking about technology in Ireland and demonstrating through our I guess itineraries, bringing people over and letting them meet, touch, feel, see, and hear what other companies and our research ecosystem have to offer. So yeah, that's it, I guess. It's an open invitation.
Ken Finnegan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you.
The opening music was The Return by Nisi 23 from the album 11 and 12, and the closing music was Washout by Broke for Free from the album Petal.